Look with me in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 5, and my text is verse 43-48. We've been going through this chapter, which is called the Sermon on the Mount, but it's really Christ's preaching about his kingdom and his gospel. And it's addressed to people who think that somehow their keeping of the law gives them good standing with God. But the Lord is showing here through his teaching that there's more to the law than just what appears to be on the surface. For example, they knew the law that it was wrong to murder, and yet our Lord goes deeper than just actually killing somebody, but to harbor anger toward somebody, to speak out against another is just as evil as murder. So the whole point of our Lord Jesus preaching these commandments was not that somehow his hearers were to get busy and trying to keep them. Just the opposite. It was to show them that they could in no way keep the commandments. Paul wrote to the Galatians in Galatians 2 and verse 21 and said that if righteousness come by the law or man's keeping the law, then Christ is dead in vain. It would not have been necessary for Christ to come and fulfill it had man been able to do it. So in citing these various commandments that his hearers were accustomed to using and believing they were obeying, in reality, the Lord's showing them that it only condemns them. So here in Matthew 5, 43-48, my text, our Lord is teaching on what it is to love your neighbor. And that's why he says in verse 43, ye have heard that it hath been said, ye shall love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. What the Lord is attacking here is how these religious leaders had misinterpreted the law. The law says, love thy neighbor. They were the ones that added, and hate thine enemy.
shira mulo chimene chidaperekedwa kwa kulakula shira mulo chifukwa malemba adanena kuti uzikonda mzako ndi achira mulo amabvakunena kuti ngati bible adanena kuti uzikonda mzako iwatangopitiriza kuti ndaona kuti ndauti uzidana naye mtani wako.
These were people who were selective in who they showed kindness to. If it was another fellow Jew or somebody of their status, then they would go out of their way to help them. But if it was a Samaritan or a Gentile, no, they showed hatred toward them.
Komanso amadana ndiye kandi asamaria mirundu ina ya wantu amatindiyo senera ndiye amadana nao.
Now before we're too quick to condemn such thinking, let's turn the light on ourselves. How many times we pick and choose those that we're going to show favor to and others we just turn the other way just because there's something about them we don't like. If there were no other law than this one right here to love your neighbor without showing favoritism, this would have to send us to hell because we all stand condemned. Such is our nature. And if you don't think so, just wait. Once we're done with this meeting, you're going to go out into the street, out in the world, out in the marketplace, and you're going to pretty quickly see that there are some that seem to be easier to love and others easier to hate. The only one who has ever loved his neighbor perfectly, even his enemies, is the Lord Jesus Christ. His love is perfect, and that's why we need his work put to our account. Otherwise, we stand condemned. And so this is why in verse 44, our Lord says, "But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you." So here we see our Lord's interpretation of the law, and who better to interpret it than him who gave the law? He's the lawgiver. So our ears perk up when we hear him teaching us concerning this law. Think of Christ's love for those sinners that God the Father chose and gave him to come and save. Were they friends or were they enemies?
Kubatumalemba akuonetsera kuti Mulungu adasankha anthu ake ena kuzo kala nzako ena kuzo kala dani yako koma Bible likutila mulira kuti sonseo tiwakonde.
When the Bible says that God chose out of a fallen world those sinners that he should save through his son, they weren't righteous people. They were rebels. They were enemies of God, and yet he chose them and gave them to his son. Such was his love for them. So in here in verse 44, when he says, "But I say unto you," he's not giving us a rule that he himself did not obey. When it says, "Love your enemies," he did. When he says, "Bless them that curse you," he did. When it says, "Do good to them that hate you," he did. When it says, "Pray for them which despitefully use you," he did. When it says, "And persecute you," he did. You see, even though elect and given to him, yet we were enemies.
Iwo amene adali adani ake a Yesu Kristu iyeyo adawafera. Iwo amene amamuzunza iyeyo monga tikuona mu ndimaka ya 44 yomene kuti ndinatikondana nawo ndi adani anu iyeyo adawakonda. Pemphelani iwo akuzunza inu adawapempherera. Ngakhale ozunzawo adawapempherera. Zonsezo kukamasiyang'ana ndi mmene momwe timenekera kuchitikira kuchitira kuti iwo amene ali adani.
You see, this is the very essence of the gospel message. It's the love of God for sinners that he's chosen and for whom Christ came and paid their sin debt. A good summary of this gospel teaching of our Lord is found in Romans 5 and verse 6. Here it says, "For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for" who? "The ungodly." There was nothing godly about those sinners for whom Christ died.
Even abuti ndimaka 6 pakuti pamene dinali chikhalire ofoka panyengo yake Kristu adawafera osapembedza.
And verse 7 says, "For scarcely for a righteous man will one die." In other words, you might see somebody that you like and you'd be willing to lay down your life for them, but it says here, "Peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die, but God commendeth his love toward us, in that" what? "While we were yet sinners," rebels, "Christ died for us."
Ndimaka 7 yakuti pakuti ndichivuto munthu adzafera wina olungama pakuti kapena wina adzalimbika mtima kufera munthu wabwino.
If you had an enemy that had a bad heart physically and he needed a transplant and your blood type fit what that enemy needed, you would probably think twice before giving your heart, which means then you would have to give your life so that he could live, because this is an enemy. You might do it for another family member, but not for an enemy. That's our nature.
Bible mulibe kukonda adani athu ayi tidezera kukonda abodzi wathu kodwa kuti munthu amene amatichitira zoyipa sitimamganizira zabwino sitimamkonda konse ayi timamfuna iye atamwalira mmenemo ndipene munthu amaganizira munthu wochima.
And then when you go to verse 10, for if when we were enemies, there's the word right there, we were reconciled to God, how? By the death of his son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. That's the love of God in Christ for his people.
Tinayanjanitsidwa ndi Mulungu mwa imfa ya mwana wake makamaka ndithu popeza ife tayanjanitsidwa tidzapulumuka ndi moyo wake ichichi ndi chikondi chake cha Mulungu pa anthu ake.
So coming back to my text in Matthew 5:44, this is where we see that what Christ is declaring is nothing more or less than what he himself came to do, to love, to bless, to do good, and to pray for those who were enemies by nature, even though chosen of God, yet enemies, and give his life for them.
Anga kale machile ngedwele ama kala adani sikwilisana nao kumeyeyo adawa fera, adawa pemherera, adawa chitila zabuno, nawa purumutsa kumachimo wao.
So even though these knew the law that they were to love their neighbor, yet they were selective. They didn't think that loving your neighbor included enemies who might be your neighbor. And yet Christ is showing that there's no distinction, that this love for those who are even enemies, we are to, that's what the law says, to manifest that love toward them.
Ndiyeno pamene amatikonda mzako iwowo anthu amaganiza kuti akungota tauza iwo amene ali pafupi nafe samadziwa kuti akulakuwasongakhala adani amene ali patali nafe amayenekera kukondedwa mofanana.
So here again we see that the law was not given to make us feel better about ourselves, but rather, as Paul wrote there in Romans chapter 3 and verse 19, it was given that our mouth might be stopped and all the world become guilty before God. My mouth is stopped when I consider I haven't even begun, nor could I begin to love as the Lord Jesus Christ has loved me. Even though I may not say anything outward about somebody that I look down at and don't think that they are deserving of my kindness, yet the very thought condemns me. My thoughts condemn me, and therein I bow before the Lord.
Now
here in Matthew 5:45, it illustrates then how it is that God himself manifests his kindness toward even enemies. That's everybody, actually. But the Lord is merciful toward all.
chifaje tikamawo yangana uthuntu wonse wa mbuku limeneli tiona kunena kutolinga chachira mulo sikuti amatibvelika chitsatire ayi koma kuti chikatsutse pakamwa pose nkutsengedwa kuti kamuonetsera munthu kuti sangathe kukonda adani ake pamodzi ndi abwenzi ake anti angakhaleso kukonda abwenzi ake kokoso zamatha munthu ngotsutsika napezeka ochima.
Now, verse 45 says that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. A lot of people read that and think, okay, if I want to be a child of God, then I better get busy loving my enemy. But you'll notice there's not a period where it says that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. It goes on to explain how God himself has loved those that are his children. It's not because they're lovable, but it's because he's merciful.
Kani yakuti sikuti adawakonda chifukwa anawo ngokondedwa ayi kuti iye adawachitira chifundo kuti alandire kukondedwa ndi Mulunguyo.
So verse 45 is showing us how God himself has shown favor toward those who are his children. What did he do that we may be the children of our Father which is in heaven? Well, it says he made the sun to rise on the evil and on the good. He sent rain on the just and the unjust. He did not discriminate in how he manifests his love. So the Lord is not telling us anything here that he himself has not already manifest by way of example.
Ndiyo tikamaona malemba apapa mbuya ukaonetsera kuti chile chili chonse chimene malemba adachita amalankhula mbuye Yesu adachionetsera pokhala chitsanzo iye mwini kwa anthu ake.
If I want to know just how much God has loved me as a sinner unconditionally, I look and see the example of the sun rising. There wasn't anything put on me by way of condition in order for the sun to rise and shine, or sending of rain. The Lord does not make any kind of condition put on his children in order to send them rain. No, he is merciful unto all.
Chifundo cha Mulungu tichiona kuti chifundo cha Mulungu chimapita kwa onse amene ali adani ake ndi iwo amene ali ake chifukwa kukhala ine osankhidwa amene masankha aona Ambuye koma Mulungu akafuna kuwaletsa dzuwa pa ine samafuna ineyo nchitepo kanthu kuti dzuwa lindiwalire ayi amambweretsa dzuwalo ndi mawala angakhale mvula chili kuyirandirayi
Can you imagine if God required absolute perfection from us first before he caused the sun to shine or before he gave the rain? We'd stand condemned. We'd never live. We need the sunshine. We need the rain. But it's not because we're good people, but it's because God is good. That's why he causes the sun to rise and the rain to fall. But that's an example of this unconditional love even toward those of us that are by nature enemies. That's all of us. When it says in verse 45 that he makes his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, we know that there's none good, but this is how we perceive it. We look at some as being more evil than others and others being more good than others. But for God, that's not a condition for him to cause his sun to shine.
And
when it says, sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust, we know the only ones who are just are those who have been justified by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. But here it says, even the unjust, those for whom Christ did not die, God mercifully gives them rain in order to grow their fields, even though they're enemies. And so here in verses 46 and 47, he shows just how inconsistent we are in our thinking.
Then the Bible 46, 47, you go in a cella, woman, Tima, many fair, Macanago, Maganizbe, Atu, as into Zokuzamurungu.
He says, for if ye love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans, that is the sinners, do the same?
Dimaga 46, vera kuti chifukwa kuti ngati muwakonda akukondana ndi inu, mphotho yanji muli nayo, kodi angakhale amisongo sachita chomwecho.
Verse 47, if ye salute your brethren only, what do ye more than others? Do not even the publicans so?
Dimaga 47, ndipongati mulankhula abale anu okha okha, muchitanji choposa ena, kodi angakhale anthu akunja sachita chomwecho.
Now you have to remember that the publicans were tax collectors. They were ones that served the Roman government. And so when people brought their goods to the market, they would sit there in the roadway and collect taxes, and they themselves would live off of what they collected, but also they would give the rest of the money to the Roman government. That's why they were hated, particularly by the Pharisees. And so when the Lord says that ye do not even as the publicans the same, he's putting these Pharisees down on the same level of, as these that they consider to be sinners. And that's what offended them.
Amene amadziwa kukonda wawakonda ndi kudana ndi wodana nawo, Christian and the old Pompera, and then a Pugazan and you are as you want to know than an hour, also one and do one an hour. Kai,
you remember the attitude of the Pharisee in the temple when in Luke 18 both came into the temple to pray, but the Pharisee, it says in Luke 18:9, trusted, like the Pharisees, trusted in themselves that they were righteous and what? Despised others.
Sana funeso kuti ayangane kumapa pamene winayo amadziyenereza yekha ndadzitamandira Bible imene kuti adadzikhulupirira yekha kodwa kuti zimene amalankhula amazimva kuti akulankhula zokhazokhazo zimene zizoyenera monga tikaerenga kuti kwa 18 ndi maga 9.
And you can see the attitude of the Pharisee in verse 11 as he stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. So that term publican for them was the worst of sinners. So here again, our Lord is addressing this word to a generation of Pharisees that thought they were doing a pretty good job keeping God's law, and yet the Lord strikes at their heart with that question, if you love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans the same? He's comparing them to publicans. And boy, you want to get a Pharisee upset, just do that. Here again, it's easy to love those that love you or to greet those that you consider to be brethren. But what the law of love is, to love your enemies, means to care for and show kindness toward those that are nothing but sinners, which is, again, who we are before God. Had it not been for his unconditional love in Christ, we would stand condemned. So here's the grand conclusion now in verse 48 of Matthew 5. Not just on this teaching concerning loving your neighbors, but all of Christ's teaching to this point concerning the law. What does the law require? It says in verse 48, be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. When the Lord said, be ye therefore perfect, that's what the law requires. And if somebody thinks that by their keeping the law, they can have that perfect standing before God. No, it requires absolute perfection, not just in word and deed, but very thought. And so that shuts man out right there. And the only perfect one was the Lord Jesus Christ. He did, in thought, word, and deed, fulfill everything that he's teaching here. See, all of us have that Pharisee's thought in our hearts that somehow, even though we know we're sinners, we think, well, I'm not as bad as others. But in reality, there's none righteous, no, not one. We're all sinners. If somebody could live the way that our Lord Jesus Christ not only tells us here in this chapter, but that he himself actually fulfilled, then he would truly be perfect. He would never hate or slander or speak evil of another person, just like our Lord Jesus Christ. He would never lust in his heart or mind or covet anything that anybody else had, just like our Lord Jesus Christ. He would never bear false testimony against somebody else. He would be completely truthful, just like our Lord Jesus Christ. He would not take upon himself to defend his rights, as in somebody taking somebody to court to sue them, and would simply be submitted to the will of God in all things, just like our Lord Jesus Christ. He would always love his neighbors, even his enemies, just like the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why verse 48 sets the standard well beyond what any of us could even ask or think when it says, "Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father, which is in heaven, is perfect." He's stating this to people who thought they were better than others, but by that standard, there's none righteous, no, not one.
Verse
This brings us back to Matthew 5:20 that we saw early on, where Christ said, I say unto you, that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. They thought themselves to be pretty good, but by the standard of God's righteousness, there's none righteous and therefore excluded in the kingdom of heaven, except for by the work of righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ, that he came and earned and established, and God has put to the account of that people that he's chosen. The righteousness that exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees is that of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why he came, to work it out in order that God might be just to declare righteous everyone for whom Christ paid the debt. If there's anybody that wants to run back to the law and start trying to fulfill it or keep it and think that somehow they're going to earn their standing with God, they only condemn themselves all the more, because it's not just what you say or do, it's your very thoughts that condemn you. And therein, we need the work of Christ alone. Well, we'll stop there for today, and the message of Christ, his teaching, continues on there in chapter 6 and 7 that we'll look at over the next many weeks. But this causes our mouth to be stopped and to wonder how it is that God could love such a wretch as I am, but not only love, but pay the sin debt that God might be just to justify us. That's the only way we can stand righteous before him.
I'll
turn it back to you.
Many thanks to God because of this beautiful preaching of the singular and only gospel that revealed in the scriptures. For sure, we have been blessed, encouraged, instructed, and pruned, and to the Lord be all the glory and honor.
Amen.